It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Actually, this could be a blessing in disguise because having the FBI go out, do a thorough investigation, whether it's 3 days or 7 days, I think it's going to be less than a week, but having them do a thorough investigation, I actually think will be a blessing in disguise. It'll be a good thing. I'll see you in... I don't have any backup. I don't need a backup plan. We'll have to see what happens. I think he's going to be fine. Again, one of the most respected men and certainly one of the most respected jurists or judges in the United States.
President Donald Trump getting ready to go into that rally in Wheeling, West Virginia this past weekend. Sandy Rios with you. I have a lot to tell you. I always do, so just fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to deliver this as clearly as I can. And then at the next break, Stella Morabito will join us to talk about what's happening here. It is a method of the left. It goes back decades. It's called ritual defamation. We're going to outline it, talk about the history of it, and how to fight it, because it's not going to just happen to people that are well known. It's happening to people in communities. People are being targeted and destroyed. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about that. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, here we are. The president says that the FBI investigation now ordered, we discussed that, remember last week? The Democrats kept asking for that in the hearing for Judge Kavanaugh. It was like a mantra over and over again. And we talked about that and pointed out that the FBI is simply doing what the investigators on the committee were doing, which is asking questions of people that were allegedly witnesses to what Christine Ford was alleging, plus other people who are coming out accusing Brett Kavanaugh. So there's really no difference in what the FBI does and what these investigators are doing. They have the same kind of qualifications and licensing, and yet one man, Jeff Flake, who is a lame duck, he is not running again because he was 30 points behind in the polls to Kelly Ward when he was considering running again. He is so disliked in Arizona because he is he's done so many repeated betrayals. He's been very much like his mentor, John McCain. When he runs for election, he sounds like a conservative, and then he goes back to Washington and stabs the people of Arizona in the back. So they're not sending him back to the Senate, so he doesn't care what he's doing. Now, you may remember that last Friday, he was confronted in an elevator. And some of us are sort of sympathetic, like these, and I still am, because these two women, when he was getting into an elevator with his two female staffers, stopped the door and started screaming at him about their sexual abuse, and he looked very contrite, his head down, and like he was ashamed. And many were blaming those attacks for him then being the one who insisted on an FBI investigation. All right, so it's Jeff Flake. The only reason that an FBI investigation is now going to drag this thing out at least another week is because Jeff Flake insisted on it. And the reason that he has that power is because he is the one Republican that could cause... Well, he's one of the Republicans that could cause Brett Kavanaugh to lose in a full vote of the Senate. He was the single vote that threw him over out of the Judiciary Committee, meaning threw him over, I mean over the line, had enough votes. All right, so these two women that assaulted verbally Jeff Flake in the elevator, where Jeff Flake is all contrite, are now, we know, from the Center for Popular Democracy. It's an organization heavily funded by George Soros. I don't have the time to go into all of that. Actually, we'll put... John Fun has a great article on this, who was behind the Flake setup. And it's he goes back to talk about ACORN, the organization that the woman who was shouting at him, one of the women, which is Center for Popular Democracy, comes out of ACORN. You may remember ACORN was a completely corrupt, not just corrupt, but illegal organization that was dismantled during the Obama years. So that's who was behind that. But the point I want to make is the contrition of Jeff Flake. He just looked, oh, it's just whipped, just, oh, these poor women. I'm just, oh, I feel so badly. That was kind of the effect. But 24 hours later, he was at the Global Citizen Festival on the stage with Senator Chris Coon and sounded very different. Let's listen to that.
Thanks to all of you global citizens who have contacted us this year. You've texted, you've called, you've touched our hearts. Keep calling.
There are people's voices we need to hear from around the world and here in our own country. So keep reaching out because we hear you and we need to keep hearing from you.
So feel free to join me in an elevator anytime.
All right, I'm just gonna let that go. We'll just cut it right there because here PJ Media reported on this and the way they said it, smiling from ear to duplicitous ear, Senator Jeff Flake took the stage in front of a roaring crowd of global citizens at a rock festival on Saturday, and of course it was all about the things that conservatives don't stand for. Jeff Flake was cheering along with them. Chris Coons was talking about I forgot if he said LGBT rights or if he said. I don't exactly know what his words were, but they were cheering all of the things that certainly conservatives do not embrace. John Legend was singing, Janet Jackson, and it was just a festival of the left. And I see the picture right here. Jeff Flake was just beaming, but he was so contrite in an elevator. He felt so badly. So you see how this works. He was asked in a 60-minute interview if he were having to run for re-election, if this would have changed how he responded and what he would have done. He said, oh, yes. So basically, you see, he told us on 60 Minutes that, of course, if he were running for re-election, he wouldn't have done something like that. So he's very proud of himself. He is now a very important vote as it goes to the Senate. The FBI investigation, I want to move to that because it's very important. Some things I just want to highlight. I believe I mentioned, but now I know more about this, two men have come forward, they did this last week, to claim that they had a sexual encounter with Christine Ford at a high school party. They don't think it was Brett Kavanaugh, they think it was them. Now, the irony here is, and they have been interviewed, and the thing of it is the statutes in Maryland, there's not a statute of limitations on this kind of charge, so this was pretty gutsy. Whoever these men are, this was pretty gutsy. And they claimed it was they that were involved in the incident in the high school party in 1982, not Brett Kavanaugh. Isn't that something? That people would come out? So they have interviewed them. They haven't been named, but that's just another interesting sideline. We now know that Christine Ford, among other things, was lying about, remember that she kept saying that she had, this whole thing came up because... This is the way she talked. I when we remodeled our house in 2012, I told my husband because I had to have two front doors. Remember that? She said that over and over again. I had to have two front doors because of this attack. It upset her so much. And that was the catalyst, she said, for telling her husband about this attack. This is 2012. This is what she said. She's gone on record saying that. And now we know that actually the remodeling permit for her home was for 2008 and not 2012. Now, that's a significant difference because her notes that she entered as evidence from her counselor are 2012, not 2008. So these, they may not sound important to you, but they are, and that's the kind of thing that Rachel Mitchell, when she was interviewing, interrogating Christine Ford, picked up. She's written a memo, by the way. Rachel Mitchell, the sexual assault expert in Arizona, has written a very long memo. And we'll put this on our Facebook page because I want you to have a chance to read it, and I can't go into all of it. Rachel Mitchell memo lists weaknesses in Ford claim. And basically, she said that it's a very weak case. And she said you could never bring charges against anyone. She said, in this case is even weaker than that. Dr. Ford identifies other witnesses to the event, and those witnesses either refuted her allegations or failed to corroborate them. I do not think that a reasonable prosecutor would bring this case based on the evidence before the committee. Nor do I believe that this evidence is sufficient to satisfy the preponderance of evidence standard. And then she goes through with each very detailed point. I'll just give you one or two. That Dr. Ford has not offered a consistent account of when the alleged assault happened. Dr. Ford has struggled to identify Judge Kavanaugh as the assailant by name. Dr. Ford has no memory of key details of the night in question, details that could help corroborate her account. Dr. Ford's account of the alleged assault has not been corroborated by anyone she identified as having attended, including her lifelong friend. That's just a part of it, and we'll put that on our Facebook page so you can share it. I want to remind you now, these other accusers, and this Debbie Ramirez has been interviewed by the FBI already. You might recall that Debbie Ramirez was the one who said that she's in Boulder, Colorado. She said that she thinks it might, maybe, could have possibly been Brett Kavanaugh. So she called all these classmates, made lots of phone calls. Did I remember this? Do you remember this? And none of them did. And so she spent 6 days, she said, talking to a therapist and thinking. And she finally came out after 6 days. And now she's sure it was Brett Kavanaugh who exposed himself to her at a party. They claimed that she had a witness. But New Yorker's Jane Mayer appeared on CBS's This Morning and admitted that the witness was not even there. And so then we have Julie Swetnick, who is the person that came out because of Michael Avenatti. Now, I told you about her last week, I believe, but I want to go back to this because we know a little bit more. Julie Swetnick is the third woman. She's the one who had the most salacious allegations. It's really, I could not read it to you because it just reads like a porn novel, the things that she accused Brett Kavanaugh of doing. The Oregonian is reporting that Julie, I mentioned this case, but not the details. 18 years ago, she was with a Portland tech company, and a lawsuit came out of that. The company alleged that Swetnick claimed to have graduated from Johns Hopkins, but the school has no record of her attendance. She falsely described her work experience. And then the suit says Swetnick engaged in unwelcome sexually offensive conduct while at WebTrends, that's the company, made false and retaliatory allegations that other coworkers had engaged in inappropriate conduct toward her. The suit alleges Swetnick engaged in, again, sexual innuendo and inappropriate conduct toward two male employees during a business lunch. And there's more to it, but that gives you the idea that's the third person that the FBI, I've heard they're not going to interview her. I think there's something like 12 lawsuits that she's involved in. She's not a credible source, and she has no people to corroborate her story, at least not yet. And then this is what happened over the weekend. That's not to deter the left, because this is Sean Purnell, and this is what his tweet says. How much more damage could waiting one more week cause to Kavanaugh, you ask? Well, these sickos will try to destroy everything he loves and holds dear, including insinuating that he's a pedophile, just to keep him off the Supreme Court. Disgusting and horrifying. And then he links to an article in USA Today. Here's the tweet from USA Today. It shows a picture of Brett Kavanaugh with his girls' basketball team. And it says, the U.S. Senate may yet confirm Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, but he should stay off basketball courts for now when kids are around. You see how this works? And so, I mean, it's just amazing. And so here's Brian Fallon was a Clinton operative. He probably still is. He has been busy and very vocal about this. He's with a new organization, a justice organization. And he says, if the Senate GOP ignores Dr. Blasey Ford and tries to muscle an attempted rapist onto the Supreme Court, they will pay dearly this November. He says Kavanaugh will not serve for life. So that's Brian Fallon. That kind of gives you the background, a window into what people are saying. Oh, man, I wanted to play a couple of other things. I'm not going to be able to. I'm just going to stop it there because I'm giving you too much information. I just thought it was amusing when Donald Trump at his rally in West Virginia was mocking Senator Feinstein, who John Cornyn pinned back along with Ted Cruz about how that information about Christine Ford was made public. And Dianne Feinstein, well, I didn't leak it. Well, how about your staff? I respect you, madam. I'm sure if you say you didn't, you didn't. Well, have you asked your staff? Well, wait a minute. She turned around. They say no. I mean, it was really a strange moment. Also, we know, those senators that were doxxed, in other words, their personal information was released on Wikipedia. Now we know that came out of Maxine Waters' House staff. Maxine Waters, they're responsible for the doxxing, the releasing of personal phone numbers, addresses of three senators. It's out of control, folks. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this ritual defamation. Don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This is Dan Celia from Financial Issues.
We look at the volatility in the markets right now, or the lack of anything in the markets, And this is a great time to take a pause, rethink all of our portfolio, look at our asset allocation model. Are we following the asset allocation model as it should be? Are we overweighted one place or another? You know, I've been an advocate for biblically responsible investing for many, many years. I've been an advocate for charitable gift annuity because I'm an advocate for permanent income. Call the AFA Foundation to start talking about it.
A knowledgeable AFA Foundation representative will gladly explain the nuances of charitable gift annuities and answer your questions. Find out about charitable gift annuities when you call 800-326-4543, extension 345. 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or by visiting afafoundation.net.
Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope.
We are launching our largest rapid response effort ever. I'm right now in Houston preparing for our next rebuilding trip here at Help Harvey in October. Meanwhile, we have leaders and equipment headed to Newburgh, North Carolina, and then Fayetteville, North Carolina, where we're going to be the next 8 weeks. But all hands are on deck. We're accepting volunteers on our website. This is an amazing opportunity for the church to be the church. We're willing to take the professional carpenter, electrician, plumber, and painter, but this is a perfect opportunity for somebody like me who's less skilled. And if you can swing a hammer and carry debris to a curb, there's a place for you.
Learn more or volunteer at 8daysofhope.com.
They say, why would you come from Chicago or Jackson, Mississippi or Rochester, New York? Why would you come to Newburgh, North Carolina? And that's when the Holy Spirit starts to move.
8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Outrage is growing across the Fruited Plain over the way Democrats interrogated Judge Brett Kavanaugh. His confirmation hearing was more like an inquisition, and many believe the left crossed a line by suggesting Judge Kavanaugh was a raging alcoholic who sexually assaulted women as a teenage boy. But Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan tells me he's not surprised by the deplorable behavior of the Democrats.
They applaud Kaepernick when he disrespects the flag. They embrace Cuomo when he says America was never that great. They cheer on Maxine Waters when she says, go out and harass people who support our president.
Jordan could be the next Speaker of the House. He's urging conservatives to use their anger to get out the vote. And last week's Senate hearing should also be a warning. If the Democrats regain political power, they could turn their wrath on every conservative in the nation. They've done it once. They'll do it again. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. It is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, you will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
That was Justice Clarence Thomas, and that was 1991. I know many of you have no memory of that. Maybe you weren't even born then. But others of us were sitting by the television then as we have been, as we were last week. It was stunning. And so upsetting, I can't even tell you, as Anita Hill accused Justice Thomas of actually, I can't even repeat what she accused him of, but in some ways it was very silly compared to what we're dealing with now. And we watched this, it was unbelievable, and Clarence Thomas's fight back stated very clearly what he felt what was happening to him. We saw that happen to Brett Kavanaugh last week, but there is a name for this process. It's actually a name for it, And we're going to talk about it because it's happening to public figures and private people that are just not even all that well-known, but maybe in their communities have some ability to do certain things. It's happening on a Facebook, a social media, and it's called ritual defamation. Sela Morabito is a senior contributing editor to the Federalist, but she's also a lot more than that. Stella has a brilliant mind. Let me just say that up front. Also, I want to say this, Stella. I wouldn't normally say this, but I just want to. Stella was in her college years and in her past a committed leftist. And she and I've shared some real interesting conversations, and she has her life has changed, and she's a very strongly committed believer to her Orthodox Christian faith. So that's her background, and she writes about the left all the time with great knowledge and understanding, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Stella.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for that, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Stella, I basically want to walk down your article today. I don't usually do it that religiously, but I want us to get into as much of what you have written as possible. So let me start this by reading your words. You say, any rational observer of the Democrats' nonstop character assassination machine can see that something is seriously sick in our republic. Instead of allowing Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh, Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee were permitted to use trumped-up, hip-pocketed charges to stage a show trial more in tune with a totalitarian system. Let's talk about that, Stella, because I think people think this is kind of relatively new.
Oh, yes. But no, there's really nothing new about it. It feels new if you've been living as though nothing has changed in terms of due process and the rule of law and respect for due process and the rule of law. But, you know, over time that has eroded as, you know, Democrats, leftists, you know, just people with totalitarian tendencies have pretty much been using the courts to push through policies that they can't get through legislatively, and that's been going on now for decades. I think Newt Gingrich mentioned it's been, you know, 60 years, and now we're at a turning point where there might be a restoration of the rule of law. And so that's what I think this is really about. Is trying to prevent a restoration of due process and rule of law. But what is being done to Brett Kavanaugh, you know, is the method for preventing that restoration, especially since he stands for it. But the defamation, of course, is just, you know, a method, a pattern that should be predictable of character assassination. And because it's such a ritualistic pattern, I mean, that's why the author of the essay that I keep referring to in this piece, his name is Laird Wilcox, you know, it's really an amazing essay that I think I probably quote most of it. It's not a very long one, that lays out everything in terms
yes.
of how that is used, but it is very totalitarian.
And we are going to get into that. You know what's interesting, Stella? Usually when you and I talk about these things or we talk about it on air or off air, it's a lot more subtle. Like the gaslighting thing we talked about. I think last time I talked to you,
yeah.
we talked about gaslighting. It's a little
yeah.
bit more subtle. You know, the whole world actually could not deny that what's happening with Brett Kavanaugh is just overtly a miscarriage of justice. I don't know, fill in the blank. It's just something's not right here. You can see it
right.
with your own eyes. That something's really wrong here.
That's exactly, yeah, that's exactly right. No, it's the masks are off. The question is whether the extent to which Americans in general and the electorate in particular are able to see that. I mean, the key word in that first paragraph is rational. Any rational observer would be able to see this. I don't know. I can get into the weeds and talk about what's happened in education that pretty much destroys, you know, independent thought and being able to, you know, see things for what they are. You know, we're kind of living in an era of anti-reality. And I think there are plenty, actually, rational observers. The issue is whether or not they'll get out there and vote.
Well, Stella, I think the point of this article that you've just written and the point, I think, of our discussion is to learn to identify the methods here, and especially ritual defamation, so that we know how to fight it. And you mentioned Laird Wilcox. You refer to this essay often. And by the way, we'll put that essay on our Facebook page, The Practice of Ritual Defamation. I'm just curious, before we jump into this, why did he write about this? What was he experiencing? Do you know?
I don't. But he is, one of the things I mentioned in there, he was a civil liberties advocate and from Kansas. And Kansas University Library actually has a collection that he started when he was a student back in the 60s. He collected all kinds of literature from every single, every group, like fringe, all kinds of fringe groups. And it's probably the biggest collection out there of original literature from, whether, communists or, whatever the group. And so, anyway, there's this huge collection at the library there. But his point was that in order to get at the truth in a free society, you have to allow debate. You have to allow people to think out loud, and if you suppress that, you're not going to live in a free society. And I think he probably witnessed a lot of as he sponsored groups on campus or sponsored debates, he witnessed I've been trying to contact him. I haven't been able to, just witnessed how this pattern of behavior, the ritual defamation, would happen as people would just smear others in order to get their point across. They didn't have a real point. All they did was smear those who were speaking out. Anyway,
let's talk about the eight things. He points out eight different things. I mean, you kind of simplify it. So let's use your pattern here and talk about eight primary features of this process, again, so we can identify it, Stella, and then we want to make time to talk about what we can do to defeat and stop this. So,
it's really important that people understand the dynamics, that they understand the methods of how defamation, these elements. First of all, do you want me to just...
Yeah, let's walk it down, because honestly, let me help you. The first one, you say defamation is the destruction or attempted destruction of the reputation, status, character, or standing in the community of a person or group of persons by unfair, wrongful, or malicious speech or publication. Sorry, that's the definition. So the
right.
first, yeah, so then what's his first, what's the first thing that they do?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind is that the victim has violated a particular taboo of the group that's going that's defaming him, and basically by expressing any kind of thought that they identify with a forbidden attitude or a forbidden belief, and that the fact that he's Catholic, the fact that he that's taboo. As far as
he's pro-life,
ritual defamers. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. If he is pro-life, that would be taboo, and to them, worth destroying him in order to make an example of him, so that others will be silenced and their influence, like-minded, will be silenced and their influence will be neutralized or discouraged. And that's the idea. Like, this will happen to you if you have these ideas. So basically what they're doing in smearing him is they're also smearing or trying to smear the ideas to kind of make a guilt by association. Even though they don't come right out and say it, they're using these trumped up charges of rape or what. It's not even rape. I mean, it was.
But they say it. They say that.
Yeah. But they're using that in order to create a kind of a psychological reaction, where you will start associating his views, pro-life or whatever else, with that kind of behavior. Not that they care about anybody. I mean, there are plenty of people on their side who have engaged in that kind of behavior, but it's not that they care about that. What they care about is defaming him so that we will see that viewpoint as being associated with, behavior.
Like
so
that's,
the method,
that's,
of course, is character assassination. That's the tool. That's how it's done.
Stella, I was just thinking about Justice Thomas. His sin was that he was a conservative black man, and that was just, you can't have that. You just can't have it. He had to be destroyed. And I think
absolutely. I mean, because he was black and because he was conservative, because he was black, he and a Supreme Court justice, they could see that he would have influence on his community as a successful, member of that community. And so absolutely they can't have that because that would be very persuasive. And so they had to smear him. That's how they felt, to prevent the kind of influence he would have had, because that particular voting bloc, they're so dependent on it. And so, turn him into whatever, Uncle Tom or, first of all, they had to turn him into a sexual harasser. And then, of course, turn him into a Uncle Tom at the same time and
right.
So on and so forth.
Yeah.
So
a character assassination is what is the ultimate goal. It's the tool. And you
right.
use this word. I like this. You say they turned Kavanaugh from a Boy Scout to a serial rapist literally overnight.
Yep.
So then you say the primary goal is censorship and repression. Now, you have to explain that to us, if you would, please.
Well, just as we spoke about Clarence Thomas, I mean, they want to censor his views. They want to repress his views. So they use the tool of character assassination to create an association of having those views with, whether it's about he himself being an unsavory character or it's about making an example of him so that you can expect to have your character assassinated if you are to express those views. So the idea is to induce self-censorship. That's how political correctness works. It induces self-censorship so that people don't even want to express what they believe one-on-one, just to a neighbor or a friendly neighbor or anything. It becomes something, even though that neighbor, if they're on the other side, have no problem expressing their view because in, the media and...
Because it's the acceptable point of view.
Right. I mean, academia and the media and all the celebrities have made it acceptable and made your view unacceptable. So that's the idea. It's all psychological manipulation in order to prevent certain opinions from being accepted in public discourse, expressed in public discourse.
And Stella, everybody listening to us understands that. It's certainly what they did with Donald Trump, too. It's assassination of character, even, and of course it doesn't mean that the object has a perfect record. Nobody does. But it's the twisting and it's the leaving out of things. And so anybody now that says that they like Donald Trump is scared to say it. If they wear the hat, they're attacked. We all know this. We're experiencing it in our families, with our neighbors. When we come back, Stella's going to continue this because we're talking about ritual defamation. And when we get a little further into this, I'm going to ask Stella to talk to us about the origins of this and some of the frightening ways ritual defamation has manifested itself in times past. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Paul's epistle to the Romans was written to believers. This verse highlights the fact that it's possible for Christians to be conformed to the world's ways. The word conform there means to be squeezed into the mold of another. Rather than being squeezed into the world's mold, the Lord requires us to be transformed by having our minds renewed by God's word. Everything about us must be held up to the light of Scripture, and wherever there's any discrepancy, we must be transformed.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. If a single issue delineates the chasm between the worldview of our two major political parties, socialism may be it. Socialism is a rabidly non-conservative view of public policy. It depends on an ever bigger and more powerful government, which involuntarily transfers wealth from those who have to those who don't. Capitalism prefers a smaller government, which transfers responsibility from government to the individual citizen. It depends upon self-reliance rather than welfare dependency. Capitalists believe in the transfer of wealth just like socialists do, only they believe in individuals giving generously and willingly out of their own resources. It's no surprise that 57% of Democrats view socialism positively, while just 16% of Republicans do. Never forget, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen.
Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last Friday, hard-left activists opposed to Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the Supreme Court bullied Arizona Senator Jeff Flake into joining similarly-minded Senate Democrats. The upshot was agreement to delay a vote on the judge's nomination for a week to allow the Federal Bureau of Investigations to examine allegations he engaged in sexual misconduct in high school and college. The question is, which FBI will perform this hypercharged assessment? Will it be the one famous for its professionalism and objectivity that has six times before examined Mr. Kavanaugh's personal history and conduct, resulting in him being given top security clearances and a seat on the nation's second highest court? Or will it be the notoriously politicized one malfeasantly led in recent years by the likes of James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and Peter Strzok? The American people have a need to know. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up. Do the right thing.
Okay, that's Senator Mazie Hirono. That's it. Boy, that's a really blatant example of intimidation and ritual defamation. The men in this country, it's a pretty broad swath of people. And yet, really, it's been quite successful from the left to diminish the role of men in the culture. My guest is Stella Morabito, and her article on The Federalist is Why the Senate's Ritual Defamation of Brett Kavanaugh Threatens Every American. We're talking about the methods And there are methods that you can actually identify of character assassinating, ruining the reputation, ritual defamation of a person. Let me pick up, Stella, with where we left off. You said that the primary goal is censorship and repression. We talked about, you said that the victim is often somebody in public eye, someone who is vulnerable to public opinion. It could be a school teacher, a writer, a businessman, a minor official, or merely an outspoken citizen. Visibility enhances vulnerability to ritual defamation. I just want to pause and let you comment on that and the next one, too. Let's just walk it down.
Sure. And you were quoting, I was quoting from Laird Wilcox's essay there. And the point is that this has a trickle-down effect. This is not just about, a nominee to the Supreme Court. This is about, it's threatening to every American because just as in the soundbite you played of Senator Hirano, it's meant to intimidate, huge swaths of the population. Like she just basically said every man. Every single man. That's meant to enhance the vulnerability of all men. And just as Wilcox stated, it could be anybody who has any kind of influence, an outspoken citizen. They want everyone marginalized who does not kowtow to their ideology. So everyone is vulnerable, we can go down the next one, which has to do with the swarming effect. And you're going to see this in the halls of the Capitol this week, where lots of, many, I'm sure, bust in, paid, whatever, so-called protesters will be out there trying to harangue and harass all the senators who would be voting for Kavanaugh, but particularly those who might be on the fence, whose votes are critical. They're going to be going there. They already are, basically in Washington, going through this systematic swarming, behavior. Recruited, deployed by elites who want to take him down as well as, and I hate to say it, but they want to take down the rule of law. I don't really hate to say that. We need to understand that. So that's now point number five. An attempt, often successful, is made to involve others in the defamation. Now, other public officials will be urged to denounce the offender.
Yeah. So do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, et cetera? Do you agree with him? Do you support him? This is what they love to do. I've had that happen to me many times.
Guilt by association. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure with Clarence Thomas, for example, if you support him, they will call you an Uncle Tom or someone who's okay with sexual harassment, depending on what demographic you're coming from. All of these techniques, though, they go way back, but we haven't even finished yet.
I'm going to speed it up because you talk about dehumanizing. We've talked about this before,
right,
Stella, about how, I'm jumping to the extreme for a second, but in these totalitarian societies that have become brutal, and I want to get to that later more in detail, but like with Stalin, I was in the killing fields of Cambodia. They dehumanize people. They called the Jews, what do they call them? They called them useless eaters and other names like that to dehumanize them so that you laid the groundwork for actually it was okay to kill them because they're not really human. And then you talk about the ritual defamation bringing pressure on the victim from every single quarter, including family and friends, their children and everything. Then you talk about how they may be fired from their job, boosted out of clubs. I mean, we see this happening all the time. In fact, you give three illustrations in your article. Why don't you just mention them briefly, if you would, of these writers?
When Brendan Eich was... he actually resigned, but thank goodness he didn't do the mea culpa. But for supporting Prop 8 in California, they dug up that he gave a donation. And that was, you know, that he believed marriage was one man, one woman. So he was a CEO of Mozilla. They got, you know, they forced him to resign, or he stepped down rather than recant, which is really what they wanted. James Damore at Google, the engineer there who didn't have what they call googly values. I think I listed in the piece another example as well, but it goes on and on. I mean, those are the ones you hear about. What you don't hear about are the professors who might have said something that got them reported that was something pretty innocuous. Got them fired, or you don't hear about, you know, necessarily school teachers who, are pushed out and hounded out. There's a lot of that going on.
I was just thinking of Dr. Paul Church, who was booted out. He was with faculty of Harvard, who spoke out about the medical effects of homosexuality, the really bad effects. He tried to warn his colleagues. He was, Boston University Hospital or something like that, and ended up losing his job, completely defamed. I mean, we could go, people know we're talking, people could think of their own examples. It's not exactly like we haven't heard of this. It's
that's
happening
exactly
all
right.
The time.
And that's what's really insidious about it, is that we want to believe, many people just want to believe it can't happen to them. And yet it's happening really all around us. And the framers of our Constitution understood this very, very well about tyranny. And that's why they framed the document and our system of government so that there would be checks on power. So anyway, ritual defamation is a very old tool that's used to, as Lindsey Graham would say, you know, for those who want power, and I hope you never get it. But
Stella, how far back? And you say very old. When I think very old, my mind only goes back so far. So I'm thinking about, you know, the years of Stalin, the horrible, horrible, dreadful years of the tyranny of Joseph Stalin. And but does it go back earlier than that?
Oh well, I would. Every totalitarian uses that kind of uses ritual defamation to keep himself on top. I mean, for example, if you look at democracy, I have a favorite quote in Alexis de Tocqueville's classic book, Democracy in America. He was the Frenchman who studied America and 200 years ago, almost 200 years ago, wrote that book. And the line in there that just keeps coming back to me is this one. A tyrant puts all of his care into isolating people. He will forgive the governed for not loving him as long as they do not love each other. And I just think that, I mean, that goes way, way, way back. It's a divide and conquer scheme. It goes back through millennia of any kind of totalitarian leader. I mean, there's lots of biblical references. They were afraid they would be thrown out of the synagogue. I've forgotten, maybe you can cite the scripture there, but basically people who might have agreed with Jesus, they were afraid that they might be, thrown out of what they considered polite society. It's an old, old, old tool. And it's really too bad that we can't recognize it more when we see it and call it out. We need to learn to call it out. You can't give them an inch, or you end up in the situation we're in today.
All right, so when you read, with Laird Wilcox, you center your piece on his essay, and he writes some great stuff here, and he does make some observations of the weak points, that ritual defamation has a tendency toward overkill. You know, we can see that, Stella.
Oh, yeah, no, we should be able to see that very, very well here. And one reason I think the left wanted so badly to have this extra week is because Judge Kavanaugh was so compelling in his testimony. And then on top of that, the Lindsey Graham moment was very compelling. And so they wanted this extra week. That really showed how over the top, totally over the top this was. And people could see it. And I guess, you know, they're looking for this extra week to, you know, mostly they want to affect those fence-sitting senators. But the long-term goal is to get, you know, is to cow the entire nation into just basically promoting that one-party state that they're looking for. It's very chilling when you
and
think
one
about
way
it.
Of thinking, only one way of thinking their way.
Only
so,
one
so,
way.
So really, we've had this discussion before. The bottom line is, it's truth. It's courage and truth. It's speaking the truth while we can. You're not going to have your hand chopped off today if you speak the truth or say you believe this or that. But you might in a couple of weeks or, you know, a couple of years or 10 years, because we are
That's
moving
right.
to that where you will now have the freedom to express yourself. This machine is coming after you. I'm not talking
exactly.
to you, Stella. I'm talking to my listeners. It's coming after us if we don't put our feet down and say, I'm speaking the truth, and I'm not afraid. If enough people say they're not afraid, you know, Stella, I always think of this great story from during the French Resistance. I saw, this was a scene I saw in a movie once, where a man was running from the Nazis and through the streets, and the people were observing what was happening, and he got on a bicycle, and the French people in that particular square all jumped on their bicycles and surrounded the guy trying to get away, and so that no one could tell. Pretty much there was one more bicycle than another, till the place was filled with people on bicycles, and the Nazis could not identify the man. That's kind of a metaphor for what we have to do, don't you think?
Yes. I mean, we need leaders. I think a lot of people see the truth. They just need to be emboldened, and the only way they can be emboldened is through good leadership of ordinary people. You know, that's what a free society depends on, and it also depends on the knowledge that free speech is a use-it-or-lose-it proposition. You know, we think if we self-censor, we'll be safe, but it doesn't work that way, and that's an excellent metaphor. You know, you need leaders. When people see the truth, all they need is... you know, a couple of others, one or two others who make it clarify for them what's at stake, and they'll generally come to their senses. But you have to stand up against this sort of thing. You can't just let it run its course.
And stand up on behalf of others. Because, you know, we all know the famous story of Niemeyer, I guess, in Nazi Germany, who was in prison. He was a World War I hero, and he finally stood against the Nazis. He was a strong Christian. He was visited in his jail cell by, I think, two or three other Christian pastors, and they said, Martin, how could you, a man like you, be here in prison like this? And he said, the question isn't that, sir, friends. The question is, why aren't you here with me? And so... it's going to take a lot of courage, Stella, but I actually think Brett Kavanaugh can beat this. Do you?
You don't think he can, or you do?
I can. I do think he can.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he can. I mean, and
I love your response.
Not backing down.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to love your response, because no, I do think he could. I think he can beat this. I think this is an incredible moment.
And he needs support.
Yeah, he needs support. Why the Senate's ritual defamation of Brett Kavanaugh threatens every American. The article we'll put on our Facebook page by Stella Morabito. By the way, The Federalist is a great source of information just for your information. Stella, thanks for joining me this morning. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.